And the section that we reach today, inshallah, in the fiqh class, is the section of those things that pertain to going to the bathroom. The Shaykh says in this book, Fiqh al-Sunnah, Shaykh Sayyid Sabiq, Habibullah, he says, in Islam, going to the bathroom involves the following etiquette. Number one, it is not proper for one to carry something that has Allah's name upon it unless he is afraid of losing it or having it stolen while he's going to the bathroom. And he says that Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu related that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a ring engraved with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, which he would remove when he went to the bathroom. Now this is one of the narrations that the scholars of Islam use as a proof that you cannot say or wear anything or carry anything that has the name of Allah on it. But Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, Rahimahullah, Al-Hafiz al-Asqalani, he says that this hadith is ma'lul, a type of weak hadith having a defect. And Abu Dawood, Rahimahullah, says that it is munkar. Munkar meaning singularly related by people who are not trustworthy. The first part of this hadith, as our Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani has said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a ring, that he had a ring which had engraved on the ring Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This part of the hadith, the Sheikh Nasr says, is authentic. As for the part that he used to remove it, as is mentioned by many of the ulama of hadith, we know that this part of the hadith is not authentic. The second thing is that he should remove and hide himself from others. This is especially true in the case of defecation. This is the reason for this is that people won't be able to hear the sound or smell the bad odors. And Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, we were traveling with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would only relieve himself when he was out of sight. And this hadith is related by Ibn Majah. And Abu Dawood rahimahullah records that when he wanted to relieve himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go where no one could see him. He would go where no one would be able to see him. He also related that when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out, he would go very far away. And there are many narrations about this on how the Muslims should shield himself or veil themselves when they go out to urinate or defecate or relieve themselves in any way whatsoever. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hayyun sitir, he is shy and he is the veiler. And يُحِبُّ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ أَنْ يَسْتَتِرْ, he loves that his servants veil themselves or cover themselves. The third thing is that one should mention the name of Allah and seek refuge in Him when entering the bathroom or the water closet, as they say in England, or removing one's clothes to relieve himself. And Anas radiallahu anhu reported that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam entered the bathroom, or that which is called the bathroom today, he would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubzi wal-khaba'ith. In the name of Allah, the saying Bismillah, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the male and female jinn, or male and female noxious beings or devils. And this is related by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others. Also, one should not talk when they go into the bathroom or when they are relieving themselves, even when they are not in the bathroom. One should not respond to a greeting or repeat what the caller of prayer is saying. He may or she may speak if there is some necessity. For instance, as some of the ulama say, that to guide a blind person who fears that he might be harmed. He might trip or fall off a ledge or something like that. And if he sneezes, he should praise Allah to himself and simply move his lips without making a sound. And this is the opinion of Sayyid Sadiq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about that. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma reported that a man passed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave him the salam, assalamu alaykum, while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was urinating. The Prophet alayhi sallam did not return the greeting. In another narration, and that is collected by Imam Muslim and others, in another narration it says that after he while he was making wudu, he did not return the salam until after he finished the wudu. But this should not be confused with the narration that we just mentioned, which is when the Prophet was urinating. There are two separate incidences. One, when he was urinating, he didn't return the salam. And one, when he was making wudu, of which he didn't return the salam until after he completed the wudu. Also, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, reported that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "Isn't it true that Allah detests those who converse while they relieve themselves?" And this hadith is related by Ahmed and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, and inshallah it has an authentic chain. And that particular hadith seems to support the position that it is forbidden to talk. That it is forbidden to talk, while other scholars of Islam, however, they say that it is only disliked and it is not haram. And it seems to be the case that it is not haram. Also, one should not face towards his back towards the Qibla while face towards the Qibla or turn his back towards the Qibla while he is urinating or defecating. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "When one of you relieves himself, he should neither face the Qibla nor turn his back on it." And this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim, and it is also collected inshallah by Imam Ahmed. This prohibition implies, according to some scholars of Islam, that it is makruh, that it is not haram. As Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa an abihi related that he once went to Hafsa's home radiallahu ta'ala anha, where he saw the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam relieving himself while facing Asham or Syria with his back towards the Kaaba. This is related by Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, and others. Some reconciliate this hadith by saying that in the desert it is forbidden to face or turn one's back to the Kaaba while it's permitted in buildings. But in actuality, as many of the ulama have debated the issue, it is not permissible to face the Qibla even if you're in the desert and there's, or even if you are in a building where there's a wall, as we have mentioned from some of the companions who used to say Astaghfirullah even when they were facing the Qibla while urinating and there was a wall or a partition in front of them. They used to say Astaghfirullah, which kind of indicates that this is an act that they didn't like to do, that might be prohibited. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala a'lam, Allah knows best. Also, one should seek a soft and low piece of ground to protect himself from impurity. And Abu Musa related radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a low and soft part of the ground and urinated. He then said, "When one of you urinates, he should choose the proper place to do so." This is related by Ahmed and Abu Dawood, and one of the narrators is unknown, but its meaning is sahih. Also, one should not use a hole in the ground. Qatada radiallahu anhu related from Abdullah ibn Sarjas that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade urinating into a hole. And Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "What is this like about urinating into a hole?" He said, "It is the residence of the jinn." Among those things also that the person should avoid is that they should avoid shaded places and those places where people walk and gather.
Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Beware of those who cause others to curse." They asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "What are those acts?" He said, "Believing yourself in the people's walkways or in their shade." Believing yourself in people's walkways or in their shade. This is something that people, unfortunately, we find today, they do. We find that people will urinate and defecate in almost any place. We go in some of the buildings, sometimes here in the inner cities, where people will urinate and defecate in the hallways or even in the elevators. And this is something that the people have become reduced to something as low or lower than animals. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his afiyah in this life and the next. And, Also, it is prohibited to urinate in bathing places or in still or running water. And Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu anhu related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "None of you should urinate in a bathing place and then make ablution in the water. None of you should urinate in a bathing place and then make ablution in the water." And then he said the majority of the waswas comes from that. And this is related by Imam Ahmed, Bukhari, and Muslim and others. As for the statement, and then make ablutions for that, was only related by Ahmed and Abu Dawood. And Jabir radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade urinating in still as well as running water. Still as well as running water. And of course, this is the running water that still in running water was saying other than the toilet bowl. Not talking about the water and the toilet bowl. We're talking about lakes and rivers and places like this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for if there's a drain in the bathing place, it's permissible to urinate into it according to some of the ulama. Also, among some of the scholars, it is not permissible to urinate while standing. If the person can guarantee that no impurities will touch their clothes, then it is permissible to urinate while standing, because we have the narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our companion Hudhayfa, related that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima mazida went to a public garbage dump, and he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing urinating. The Messenger of Allah was seen standing urinating. Hudhayfa went away, and the Prophet then called him back. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ablution and wiped over his shoes, and this hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, "To urinate while standing is most desirable in my opinion, but to do so standing, to urinate while sitting is more desirable in my opinion, but to do so standing is permissible. Both acts are confirmed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." As for the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that is collected by Tirmidhi and others, they said that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, "If someone relates to you that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urinated while standing, do not believe him. He only urinated while sitting." We know that this hadith, inshaAllah, it seems to be authentic. And the way that we reconcile the two of them is that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was not aware that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urinated while he was standing, from the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Also, one must remove any impurity from his clothes and body. And to do so, he can use a rock or a stone, or any other pure type of substance, or any type of pure type of matter or agent. For instance, one may use water to clean the area, or any combinations of purifying agents. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam once said, when one of you goes to relieve himself, he should clean himself with three stones. When one of you goes to relieve himself, he should clean himself with three smooth stones. And this is related by Ahmed and Nasa'i, Abu Dawood and Dar al-Qutni. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu related that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was entered into that which we call now the bathroom, and that Anas radiallahu anhu and another boy who would carry the water container and spear for him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would clean himself with water. This hadith is collected by Imams of Bukhari and Muslim. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu related that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by two graves and said, they are being punished, but they are not being punished for a great matter on their part. One of them didn't clean himself from urine, and the other used to spread slander. And this hadith is collected by Bukhari and Muslim and also others. Anas radiallahu anhu related, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, purify yourselves from urine, as most punishment in the grave is due to. As most punishment in the grave is due to. Also, it is a part of the etiquette of Islam that when we clean ourselves, we should not use the right hand. And this, as I mentioned before in some other classes, and we have the statement of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she said, كانت يد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اليسرى لخلائه وما كان من أذى وكانت اليمنى لوضوئه ولمطعمه. This hadith is collected by Abu Dawood and Ahmed with an authentic chain, inshaAllah, as Imam al-Nawawi and al-Iraqi have stated. And which means that the Messenger of Allah's right hand used to be used for, the Messenger of Allah's left hand used to be used for cleaning himself, and that which was, those things which were harmful, like najas, harmful meaning to the purification of the person, and his right hand used to be used for wudu and for eating. And also, Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd related that Salman radiallahu anhum was asked, your Prophet teaches you everything, even how to release yourself. Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, certainly, he forbade us from facing the qibla while doing so, from cleaning ourselves with our right hand, and from cleaning ourselves with less than three stones. We also should not use an impure substance or a bone to clean ourselves. And that hadith is related by Imam Muslim and Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi. And Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to reserve his right hand for eating, drinking, putting on his clothes, and taking and giving. He used to use his left hand for other actions. And this hadith is collected by Ibn Hibban and also Al-Hakim in his book called Al-Mustadrak and also Al-Bayhaqi. We also have other narrations that indicate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do things of good with his right hand and those things were considered the bad things with his left hand. From Abdullah ibn Abi Qatada, from his father, who said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he said, إذا شرب أحدكم فلا يتنفس في الإناء وإذا أتى الخلاء فلا يمس ذكره بيمينه ولا يتمسح بيمينه. That's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, when any of you drink, you should not blow in the vessel, you should not breathe in the vessel, in the container, and when he goes to the bathroom, or that which we call the bathroom today, al-khala, that he should not touch
his penis with his right hand, nor should he yatamassah biyaminihi, nor should he wipe it with his right hand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, one should remove any bad smell from his hands after cleaning himself. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieved himself, I used to bring him a container of water. And he would clean himself, then rub his hands against the soil. And this hadith is an excellent hadith as a proof to show us that dirt is a means of purification. That we can use dirt to clean ourselves. As the Prophet alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that when a dog licks your vessel, your plate, if you wash it 7 times, the first time with dirt. Also, one should sprinkle his penis and underwear with water after urinating to make sure that he has cleaned himself. And this is not obligatory, this is just one of the sunnahs that are highly recommended. And we have some narrations from some of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah. One of them who was Sufyan ibn al-Hakim, who said when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urinated, he would wash and sprinkle his penis. In another narration it states, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urinate, after which he sprinkled water over his penis. And Abdullah ibn Umar also used to sprinkle his penis until his underwear became wet. And this is to remove any doubt that may arise, that if they feel any wetness after they made istinja, if they feel any type of dampness or wetness when they're about to walk away to go make wudu or read the Quran or whatever, to remove any doubt that is urine coming out, that they would sprinkle water on their penises, their private parts, and sprinkle it in their underwear, just to help remove any doubt. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one narration, learned this from Jibreel. When Jibreel alayhi salam taught the Prophet how to make wudu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he saw Jibreel doing this. Also, when we walk into the bathroom, it is recommended from the scholars of Islam that we say, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith." That we can walk into the bathroom with the left foot and seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we walk out with our right foot, saying, Allahumma ghufranak, O Allah, I seek your forgiveness. And the hadith of Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the male and female noxious devil, has already been presented. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the bathroom, he would make that dua, Allahumma ghufranik, O Allah, I seek your forgiveness. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in this hadith that is collected by Muslim and others, as far as those things that happened inside the interior of the Prophet's home, she and the other wives were the most knowledgeable. And we usually, from the scholars of Islam, will take those things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in his home. We take those things from the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than we would take from the males of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a more authentic proof, because they were with him in the home and they knew more what he did in the home than the other people. As for walking into the bathroom with the left hand, this is something that, to the best of our knowledge, has no real proof. Even though at one conference just this past December, it was told to me that Sheikh Salim al-Hilali, Hafizullah from Jordan, has an actual text that says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into the bathroom, or that was called the bathroom, and he walked in with his left foot, which is a proof that you do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It seems as though that it is just something that is from the independent reasoning of the scholars of Islam, that we do the good thing of cleaning giving and taking, etc., with the right side, and those things that have to do with purification or istinjah or things like this, we do it from the left side, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do the good things from the right, like combing his hair, purifying himself, eating, etc., and those things that were considered on the bad side, for lack of better words, were done with the left. And this is where the scholars make, they extrapolate, or they extract with their independent reasoning, that we walk into the bathroom with the left foot, because we walk into the masjid with our right foot and out with our left. So from this, they say that we should walk into the bathroom with their left foot and walk out with the right. And if Sheikh Salim al-Hilali, hafizahullah, does have a text, we hope that one day when we see him again in the near future, we can ask him for the actual text. But until then, it seems to be just an act that the scholars have used their independent reasoning to extract from. How you feeling, huh? I'm doing well. This is actually what we wanted to present today, inshallah ta'ala. If there are any questions about this, inshallah, we can discuss them. And if not, we'll end it here, inshallah. Jalla jalaluhu. Any questions there? None? I guess there's no questions from the sisters upstairs. Inshallah. So with that, inshallah, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Anything that I've said that is correct is from Allah, anything that I've said that is incorrect is from myself. And I seek refuge with Allah from all of my sins and mistakes and ask His forgiveness. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam.